It's a special signing day version of a Stank Gang podcast with head football coach Rich Renner. We check in on the Midwestern State football team, particularly the signings. And these are incoming freshmen that will be coming to Midwestern State. Is signing day still as important to Midwestern State football as it was in years past?
Most definitely. And the reason why it's so important is because obviously recruiting high school kids is still the foundation of this program and still the bloodline in recruiting, and it always will be. You know, I know the portal has blown up and has taken kind of center stage of recruiting in the big scheme of things, but you still have to develop kids. You still have to get the big boys out of the high schools, where we're not going to get those guys out of the portal at our level.
Well, it's funny that you say get the big boys, because the first thing I did was look to see offensive linemen that you had signed, and it looks like you got some big boys.
Well, that was our goal. You know, after last season, I felt like that, you know, we were a little small and we needed to get some size, especially up front, and just about everybody we played were bigger than us. And so that's the first step, was to recruit bigger kids and better talented kids than what we've had in the past. And so I felt like, you know, our coaches did a really good job, even though we, you know, had lost coaches throughout, you know, the off season and had to hire new coaches. And I was just proud of, you know, our coaching staff and what they've done in the recruiting process to this point.
Well, let's jump off there. Talk a little bit about the coaches that you've brought in and what they had to do in order to get this recruiting class signed.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously there's a lot of loopholes you got to go through, but, you know, the first one that I was able to hire was at the 1st of January, which, again, for those that don't know, you know, obviously, you know, our DB coach left and you know, and obviously had to wait till I could hire a guy until January 3rd for that position. So therefore the interviewing process taking place and then obviously our offensive coordinator, Coach Reebok, leaves and takes a head job at McMillan University, D3 school, sorry. And took Coach Twiner with him, our wide receiver coach, and then our O-line coach, Coach Lewis, ended up deciding that he wanted to go high school and be closer to home. And so when you have six full-time assistant coaches on your staff and four of them are gone, and you're left with two, it's very difficult in the recruiting process. So relied heavily on our GAs that were still around that weren't graduated and gone, and obviously with us that were left, the three, me, myself and two other assistant coaches, that we had to pick up the slack. And on top of that, in between me watching kids and recruiting and evaluating and calling kids, is I had to call and recruit coaches and find coaches. And so that was a very challenging time. But thank the good Lord that, you know, I feel that through a lot of prayer and time, you know, I felt that God brought the right coaches and the right people here to the staff. And I'm excited for, you know, obviously what to see in the fall, but also to see, you know, how we were going to do in recruiting. And once they got on board, that they had to take the recruiting test and pass the recruiting test and be compliant to be able to do the visits and to, you know, and to call kids and to be able to go out on the road and all that fun stuff. And so we were a little bit handy, you know, kind of hand-tied a little bit with, you know, for a while, just because of our number situation and not having those guys cleared yet to be able to do the things we need them to do. And so, you know, Kurt Portman, our compliance officer, does a great job of getting us, keeping us compliant and staying on top of it. He worked his tail off to get the necessarily, you know, recruiting test and legislation through that we could get those guys cleared and calling you know, other schools and all that good stuff to get their information sent to us and so you know, so we could make this thing work. And so it's really good to see. You know, I know that we still have a few still out there that we're waiting on getting signed, but for the most part, to, you know, the goal was for me obviously to get about 30 kids. And I think we're going to go past the 30 mark. And I just, again, you know, hats off to the assistant coaches that worked their tail off, especially the new guys that were able. Because obviously, you know, in the recruiting process, you know, we were getting some negative recruiting from our conference foes, just because, you know, we didn't have coaches. And so, again, the easiest thing to say is, hey, they don't have this coach or they don't have that coach. And, you know, what are they going to run here? What are they going to do here? Who's going to coach you? And putting those, planting those seeds in those kids' minds didn't help us per se. And so I knew we had to get these coaches hired as quick as possible. And again, was able to do it, you know, thanks to our HR and Kyle Williams, and like I said, and our compliance officer, to be able to get us, you know, continue to work on all cylinders and keep us firing and in recruiting, which is the bloodline of your program. And so that's why it's so important, signing day. You know, it's not something that you just overlook or think that, oh, well, you know, it's just another day. No, it's very important.
Yeah, who'd you land on for a new offensive coordinator?
Well, our offense coordinator is Kirk Bryant. Kirk Bryant came from Texas Tech, was obviously quality control quarterbacks coach there, and has been there, played at Mississippi College, and then went to Baylor and was a GA there, and then after there was at Austin Peay for a year, and then went back to Texas Tech to be with Coach McGuire, and so I was very, very fortunate and lucky to be able to hire him. Just a great offensive mind, but also too continuing to, you know, very detailed and obviously organized, but also too, you know, knows his stuff, been around some really good coaches and has learned from some really good guys. And so, like I said, I was just thankful that he wanted to be a play caller and leave the, you know, the highest level there of Division I and come to, you know, obviously, help us, get back on top here at Division II. And then obviously I hired, our secondary coach, Clyde Logan. Clyde Logan was at Western New Mexico last year, and I've known him for years from Southwestern Junior College in San Diego, and where he was the recruiting coordinator and DB's coach there, and I think was a DC for a year or two there, and so I was lucky enough to get him, and he's in the process of moving his family now that signing day has taken place, and so, you know, he's excited about that, and has really fit in with the staff, and you know, again, has really grown since he's been here in the last month or a little over a month. And then obviously hired our line coach, which obviously is a very important position, next to the offense coordinator position, which is Coach Fink. Coach Fink, you know, has again been tutored by a lot of great O-line coaches, and obviously he was at GA and was an assistant O-line coach at Ohio University, Wyoming, Kentucky, Alabama, and then he had his own room and was the offensive line coach at Virginia Union this last year. And I think they went two rounds deep in the playoffs. And so, again, we were very lucky and fortunate. It was tough. I mean, there were some really good coaches out there that I interviewed. I worked you know, every day in the off season to, you know, interviewing three guys a day in Zoom and just trying to find the right fit guy and trying to find the guy that I felt was, you know, the best fit for our kids and the future of the program. And so again, it was a tough decision, but, you know, I'm very blessed that Coach Fink was the one chosen to come here, and he's done a great job since he's been here.
We talked about the offensive line. You wanted to fill holes there, get some big guys. Were there any other positions you were focused on in terms of recruiting in for this signing class?
Most definitely. Obviously, DBs, you know, secondaries, corners. You know, we were very thin there last year. We had some injuries, and I had to, you know, dismiss a few kids for team rule violation, and so we had to move a receiver over to play DB and set, you know, late part of the year, and so obviously that position was something that we needed to focus on. And then obviously the receiver spot, we had a lot of the receivers that left and went into the portal at the end of the season, and so we needed to, you know, kind of clean that up a little bit and bring some fresh bodies in there and mindsets, and especially with this offense, you know, it made it an easier sell. Plus, as you know, receivers and DBs are not a dime a dozen, but there's a ton of those guys out there. There's a huge supply, and the demand is always high, but not as high as it is as the big boys are.
Right.
And so So
it's supply and demand.
Supply and demand. And so we just, you know, again, we were fortunate enough to sign some, we felt, really good secondary guys.
You think these freshmen will have an impact next season, or?
You know, I don't count on them, Pete, to be an impact player, but you just never know. I mean, you just don't know how hard they're going to work in the off season in the summer and how quickly they're going to pick up the scheme. And you know, that's the great thing about, you know, these high school kids is you just never know. I mean, you don't anticipate a guy coming in and playing, but if he does, it's a bonus. And so we're excited to, you know, at least see the future of, you know, Midwestern State football and obviously having another, which we feel is a really good recruiting class behind the one of last year. And we lost a couple kids out of that freshman crew, and we needed to because, again, team rules and grades and stuff like that, and maybe they weren't a good fit for us. But for the most part, I felt like we did a really good job recruiting last year and got some really, really good kids that were really good leaders as freshmen. And so we played them for three games and then redshirted them so that they wouldn't use a year of eligibility, but gave them a little bit of experience and a taste of it, of what it's going to be like this year. And so backing that with another good recruiting class, I'm pretty excited because you don't benefit from the fruit of your labor until maybe a couple years down the road to what, you know, to what you're pointing out to be, but I'm excited to see the future.
Well, it's interesting that you brought up last year because I was going to ask you, you're a year after last year's recruiting class. How do you assess that recruiting class from a year ago, which was your first as the head coach here at Midwestern State? And do you see some of those guys getting more and more playing time?
Most definitely. We're counting on those guys to get more and more playing time this year. We expect them to step up, and I know they will because they've stepped up in the weight room and they've stepped up, you know, to this point. And so I'm excited to see that. And again, I still rate them as a really, really good class. Just, you know, the character, the talent level. You know, we were very fortunate with these kids that we did sign. And so backing that up with another good recruiting class, you know, just continues to, you know, excite me and looking towards the, you know, tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. So it's going to be fun.
So what are your expectations going into spring?
Well, obviously, the expectations going into the spring would be obviously to get better. You know, we've got to get better each and every day, just, you know, just like normal. But, you know, when you've got a new offense and tweaks to the new defense, or not new defense, but tweaks to the defense, then in special teams that, you know, we've got to continue with the new guys that we have that are going to be young and youthful, that we've got to continue to grow and mature and grow up in a sense to be ready to handle, you know, the pressures of, you know, Saturday Night Lights and be able to handle the you know, adversity that we're going to go through and how we respond and react to those adversity situations and determine the success of our season.
How much different is the offense going to be with a new offensive coordinator?
Well, it's obviously going to be different because you got a new guy calling it. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what we do or not do. I think that we're going to do a lot of similar things that we've done in the past, but still, it's just, you know, from the signals to the verbiage to the formations, that, you know, I mean, just everything is going to be new to our kids as well as to the coaches, not to the coaches per se, but to the kids, to the coaches,
but to a certain degree, the coaches, right?
To the coaches as well, and so so it's gonna be fun. It you know, it brings new energy, it brings new excitement, it brings, you know, just that growth of, you know, that it's not the same old. And I just felt like that. You know, the last 2 years, you know, we weren't very successful on offense. You know, we averaged last year 13 points a game if you take away the points by the defense that they scored. And you're not going to win many ball games, you know, averaging 13 points a game in this conference. And so, you know, so I think the kids are excited for, you know, just a change in general and just something new. And again, the energy of the younger coaches, just everything around it, I just think is just going to help. You know, with that, with those deficiencies that we've had in the last couple of years, and, you know, nothing against, you know, the previous coaches, but I just feel like that, you know, sometimes you need a breath of fresh air and just need something new and changed and, you know, and revamped. And I think we're going to be able to get that with Coach Bryant and the guys we've hired.
kind of like that we have Coach Bryant on the staff. I like the sound of that. That brings me to the question that if we were taking calls right now, people would definitely be calling asking about quarterback. What does the quarterback position look like going for next year? So let me ask that.
You know, it's wide open, and I think what's awesome about the quarterback position is that, you know, you've got, you know, Jastrup that got hurt game four that's still got 2 years because he gets that medical back, and you've got Duncan that's recovering from a broken leg as well that hopefully will be healthy in time for spring ball and be able to go through that. And then you've got Andrew, you know, that kind of took most of the weight there through the middle of the season towards the end of the season and took some shots, but also did some really good things and kept us in ball games that gave us a chance to win. And so obviously he's got a year under his belt. And so we've got a lot of experience with three quarterbacks that I'm excited about. And then obviously we've got some, a new one coming in and a young pup that we'll see what he can do and how well he progresses and learns. And so I think we're much better than we were a year ago. And simply because a year ago you had Duncan that was coming from a junior college and trying to learn the system. You had Sean Jastrup coming in from a JUCO and trying to learn the system. And then you had Andrew that redshirted and then now is a redshirt freshman. And now he's trying to learn, be a leader and trying to learn to be able to play and lead the team. And just so I think just that year of maturity and the year of difference and just, you know, all those things, playing time, I think is definitely going to benefit us down the road.
You're able to bolster the offensive line?
You know, we got a couple offensive linemen, you know what I mean, that we did at mid-year. Obviously, we're still, that's why we signed so many offensive tackles.
I think you signed nine offensive linemen total?
Yes, sir. And we've got a couple that'll probably walk on as well. But, that was kind of the emphasis was offensive line. And I felt like we got some big guys, but also some really, really good guys, which, again, what helped was obviously the NCAA, you know, forcing the Division I's to cap their rosters at 105. And then, you know, obviously the portal blowing up like it did to the numbers that it had that most people were fishing out of the portal and not out of the high schools, and so we were able to get some really good high school kids.
Were you able to do anything in the portal that you're excited about?
You know, we were. You know, we did get a couple offensive linemen out of there. We got some, you know, other guys, DBs and some D linemen and a linebacker, and so and got a receiver out of the portal as well. So I mean, we'll see how it all plays out, but that we are excited about the guys we did get out of the portal and see how that they're growing, because we obviously had to replace 22 guys that went into the portal from our team from last year. And I think we brought 20 in.
Does that hurt your feelings?
You know, it doesn't, because I'll be honest with you, we want guys to be that want to be here to be here, and the guys that don't want to be here, you know, I mean, obviously you don't want to, prevent them or stop them from being happy and going somewhere where they think the grass is greener, and that's okay. But when, you know, we had a lot of those guys that left us, which again, it was great to see in a sense of, and I know people are think I'm crazy when I'm saying this, but how God,
we think you're crazy anyway, so just go ahead and
exactly,
say it, Coach.
That's true. Is how God pruned this team and through the coaching staff as well to help us continue to grow. And so sometimes, you know, God's going to prune, you know, just like he prunes, and we have to prune back the, you know, the rose, you know, bushes and the trees and the fruit, you know, fruit trees and all that other stuff to continue to bear the good fruit. You know, I felt like that's what God did with our team and with this program and bringing in those new, nourishment and fruit and whatever, however you want to say it, that's going to continue to.
And there's no hard feelings about the guys that left?
No, sir, not hard at all. Not hard at all. And again, but it just, and it all worked out for the best for everybody. And so with that being said, I mean, there was no hard feelings and there was no hurt feelings in a sense of, like anything personal or what have you. I told him, I said, you know what, as long as you come in as a man and tell me that this is what you're going to do, and I'm perfectly fine with it. You don't have to tell me, you know, a big, long, drawn out explanation of why you don't want to be here. It's just, hey, whether you don't like me as a head coach or you don't like, you know, your position coach or whatever the case may be, that's okay. And
it's the new reality for everybody in college football.
It is. It most definitely is for everybody. And so everybody, you know, just like in life, you know, we think that that next job is going to be better than the one we have, or if, you know, somebody's going to pay me an extra dollar, then it's worth making the move. And sometimes it's not, you know, and sometimes it is. It just depends on what God wants us to do. And for those guys that wanted to move on and look for something better or more money or whatever the case may be in scholarship, then, you know, I wish them the best. And you know, but a lot of them, you know, a couple of them I was kind of shocked of that left when they didn't have much schooling left, and they're going to lose a bunch of hours and prolong their years of graduating. And just to me didn't make sense, you know, far as money-wise. But, again, when people make their mind up and they're going to do something, they're going to do it.
And it's young men making decisions.
It's young men making decisions and people in their head that tells them they're better than what they are or they can get better than what they have it. And again, that's part of the society we live in.
If you could describe this signing class in a word or a sentence, how would you describe this signing class?
I would say big. You know what I mean? I would say this is a big signing class, not only in numbers but also in size. And I thought we got a lot of length, you know, that we were missing and needed. That I felt that our coaches did a great job of. That was something that we really emphasized on. And I was excited that we were able to get those guys.
And spring practice begins pretty soon?
February 11th. We're going to go early.
I was going to say, that seems early.
Very early. And again, it's, you know, we got to get ready for the cold for the playoffs.
I like where you're headed here.
Yes, sir.
Playing the cold, get ready for the playoffs.
Yes, sir. And so, as you know, late in March and April, it's very warm in Texas, and so we've got to stay uncomfortable. If not, you get complacent, and so we've got to be comfortable with the uncomfortable.
It's definitely cold in places like Ferris and Minnesota State. So let's get ready for that. I like the sound of it. Coach, as always, thanks for your time. Thanks for doing this Signing Day podcast. I know it's been a crazy day for you, so thanks for taking time out to do this.
Thanks, Pete. We appreciate all you do, Pete. You and Trey Reed, but also go Mustangs.